You got a little Ouija with Paddy Power on this one, then?
Yeah, mate. Big man to score any time. I'm backing him.
And it looks like it's the big man who's coming off.
Oh, he's going to struggle to score from the bench, pal.
Oh. Fear not, punter, because with Paddy Power's super sub, your bet carries over to the player coming on.
Y'all ready for this?
So now, all subs are super. Paddy Power. Football, you gotta love it. Valid on selected leagues and markets only. Pre-match and in-play bets on qualifying player outcome selections only. T's and C's and exclusions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome along again to the From the Horse's Mouth as we rattle through Punchestown Week, wonderful festival. Day two is upon us. I've got Rory De Largy and I've got Ruby Walsh. A reminder though, check out Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. As always, check it out. Doesn't need me to flag it up, but there's always good stuff on it, including a nice little feature at Punchestown Rewind, which is always worth a look, as well as pop into a shop throughout the week and you get yourself a free tenner bet on Punchestown. Simply have a tenner bet, a tenner double, and you will get yourself a free tenner bet. That's all week long in all shops and available to every single person. Ruby Walsh, what is one of the biggest weeks for Kildare Sports? We're into day two. How are you?
Good, PK. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Thank you very much for asking. It started with Nace on Monday night. At this stage, we'll have known that Laugh a Minute will have won that 6 furlong handicap on the Monday night, by the way, Ruby. Just a heads up.
Will we?
Well, I hope so.
Right, that sounds interesting, yeah.
I hope so, on the Monday night at Nace. And of course, those listening to this will check the result and see that he finished last and go, what was PK on about? Rory, how are you? You well?
I am very well, yes. Thank you very much.
Tell me the last time you went to Punchestown Racing Festival.
Me?
Yeah.
About 2002, I think it was. 2003, maybe.
Name the Gold Cup winner then that year, because that is...
I didn't stay. I had a very, very annoying day. I was taken over with the company I worked with, because
Labrooks, if it was Labrooks, by the way.
It was Labrooks, yes. And I was a designated racing expert, and we went over for a day's racing, and we left after three races to go back home again. And I thought that's... wouldn't have bothered coming. I thought that was going to happen.
Why did you leave after three races?
Because they thought whoever was in charge said, oh no, we'll miss our flight if we don't leave now. And we had about 3 hours to spare before the flight went back.
Well,
awful.
I'm glad we named Ladbrokes as the organizer.
I mean, the racing was great.
That is an absolute shambles. I mean, if you're going over a day's race and you book the bloody hotel as well, lads, you wouldn't have that in Paddy's now. If you're down the track, you're down the track. And you're there for a good time and a long time. As well. Ruby, busy this week? You're probably pretty busy, yeah? Yeah,
busy enough, PK. RT again today, so yeah, busy.
Sure, that's fine. You like to be busy. We'll crack in with a few winners, hopefully. Day two is going to kick off with the Adair Manor Series Final. This is traditionally, as part of the festival, there's been about 150,000 of these races over the course of the season. They're open to a certain amount of jockeys who have ridden a certain amount of winners over the course of the season, and... I don't even have a tissue, but I see Willie Mullins. This is great. I've got something to bring to you, Ruby. I see Willie Mullins as a horse, and Sean Cleary Farrell will ride Maroto. He's only had 3 starts. That's in a race of this nature. That's inexperienced.
It is inexperienced. And one I like only has 3 runs as well, but Maroto has been a little bit disappointing. PK last start at Clonmel last week when Paul Tannen was looking for winners. Lady Brazil beat Maroto. Probably a little bit unlucky, but still, I'm not sure she has the experience for it. Has I'm going to tip one with the same amount of experience, and that is one of Matthew Smith's, a horse called Napper Tandy. Rated in the 80s when it was trained in the flat, on the flat, even in the UK by Andrew Balding. It's only had the 3 runs over hurdles for Matthew at Clonmel, Punchestown and Ballinrobe, but I thought it was eye-catching enough for Ballinrobe only a fortnight ago. And I thought this 6-year-old had a squeak off a mark of 122, but now it is an each-way hopeful selection in a race that is unbelievably difficult.
Yeah, it always is. That race, Napper Tandy. I remember Jim had a horse called Napper Tandy, famous Irish revolutionary, of course, but this is a new one. Anything for you in this, Mr. Delary?
Yes, I quite like the horse called Napper Tandy.
Oh!
Who I thought was eye-catching at Ballinrobe last time out. Long, long run from the last hurdle to the line there. I think he was stuck another hurdle in between. He'd have won that race. He just got a bit lonely in front on his first run for the best part of a year. I thought he'd come on for that, and I thought he had a big, big chance. So I would fully back up what Ruby said there.
Double vote for Napper Tandy. And I wasn't, I usually do talk nonsense, but I wasn't on that occasion. Napper Tandy, trained by Jim Bulger back in 2002, ran 4th to Dalakani at Songclue in a Group 1, the Criterium. And then ran in the Irish Derby, Alamshire's Derby. So if he's half as good as him, he'll win.
That's wonderful.
Thanks, Ruby. Ruby's in one of those moods. I think the Saturday party was good. I think it was good because Ruby's in one of those moods. Next race, PK. All right, the next race, Ruby, is the 305. I hope this one's on YouTube because then you can actually see Ruby's face. This is the auction series final for the novice hurdle, sponsored by Connolly's Red Mills. Again, we're operating without prices. We're actually recording on Monday, by the way, folks. We don't even know what's happened on the first day. So operating without prices. Gavin Cromwell's inherited Back to Normal, which I thought was interesting in this race. Danny Mullins riding the Flying Bee was eye-catching. Jack Kennedy, of course, needs winners. There's a story through the week. Jack Kennedy versus Paul Townend. He's on purse price. Rory, to you first for the auction series final.
Yeah, I just want to keep it fairly simple here. It's not an easy race for me to unpick, but I did see Answer to Cave run a cracker behind Better Days Ahead in the Martin Pipe at Cheltenham. John Shinnick able to claim his full seven here as well. He's ridden the horse on all his starts over hurdles, and I thought he was he's more exposed than most, but he's got very solid form in the book. I see no reason why he shouldn't run his race again, and I thought he was the likeliest winner on paper.
Answer to Cave. Grumpy, your thoughts?
I was in the same boat. Before we came on, Rory was saying that maybe it wasn't the easiest race to decipher. I actually thought it was. I think Answer to Cave's form is rock solid. I thought he quickened well to win here in Ace over a trip. Probably it had been the short side for him when he beat Captain Cody Back to Normal, Any Road and Blizzard of Oz. A couple of those reoppose again tomorrow afternoon, PKR Wednesday afternoon. And I thought his run at Cheltenham was outstanding. Even his run at Limerick when Loughlin beat him when he was too keen over 3 miles. Stellar Story was just in front of him, who won the Albert Bartlett. I think his form is head and shoulders above what the opposition have produced, and I think he'll win.
Okay. Double, lads. We've got Mappertandy and Answer to Cave both going in as the selection of the first two. Let's see if we can match again in the Louis Fitzgerald Hotel Hurdle. This race has funny-ish conditions. Not funny conditions, but it's basically if you've not finished first, second, or third in a grade one or grade two, essentially, you can get into this. And it's produced a good field this year, particularly good field. Mr. Giff, who some fancied each way in the Supreme, is the Willie Mullins representative with Paul Town on the board. Nicky Henderson's over with East India Express. No one would deny Nicky a winner this week, I'm sure. And then, of course, you've got Cletus Pulo, who's strongly fancied at Cheltenham. He's there with Jack Kennedy on board. So, Rory, back to you for the Louis Fitzgerald.
I thought Mr. Giff might just have a class edge on them here. He hasn't quite, well, I wouldn't say hasn't lived up to expectations. He's run as well as the market has suggested and the form book has suggested in those grade ones at Cheltenham at Aintree. Obviously behind the same sort of horses the last twice. But the suggestion is that there's a bit more to come from Mr. Giff. He lacked experience coming into the Supreme, and I thought he ran well to be fifth. He didn't really build on that last time out, but still a solid enough run behind Mystical Power and the top novices at entry. And I think he will appreciate just having an easier task. And I think he deserves to be favourite for this. I don't think we have any betting at the moment, do we? But I think he should be favourite for it. And I'd happily take a chance on him down in class.
Traders have been busy. And they actually have produced betting for the race on Monday already. 11-8, Mr. Giff has opened up favourite for it. Then you've got 11-2, Cletus Pulo, 6-1, no flies on him. And 9-1 East India Express, the rest are double figure. Ruby.
Yeah, I fully agree with Rory again. And I was for the same reasons, stopping down in class. He ran really well in the Supreme, where he was dropped in. Probably didn't really help Firefox. He got the run Firefox was looking for, even going to the last. But I just thought dropping a great PK, he was the one. Thought maybe dropping down and trip no flies and him could get back on track. But I did think Mr. Giff coming down in grade would be a huge help. And I think restricting this race and the other winners and one on Friday, or excluding horses who finished placed in grade ones, grade twos and grade threes, has made these better races and has pushed horses who only won one hurdle race into the grade one races. So I think that was a good addition to the program.
Yeah, it's a good renewal, that's for sure. I'm not, have they tweaked it this year? Or is it?
Yeah, and then they tweaked the one on Friday as well. So like El Fabiolo, Arctic Fire, horses like that who'd been placed in Supremes because they'd only won one hurdle race, qualified for these races, but they really in theory should be in the grade one novices, so they have tweaked those conditions. And it's only small changes need to be made to a lot of races, PK, to make them more competitive.
Will be some big changes at Cheltenham next year, but anyway, that's for another day. The first of the grade ones is the novice hurdle over nearly 3 miles, let's call it, and this one's sponsored by China Real Estate. Right, so the lads have picked the same horse in the first three races. get a bit samey, lads. 2-1 favourite is Dancing City. It's then 11-4 Stellar Story, 4-1 High Class Hero, 15-2 Lecky Watson. Sorry, 6-1 Better Days Ahead, and then 15-2 Lecky Watson. Back to you, Mr. Walsh. Willie has got a few. Paul's gone with Dancing City, a horse who always seems to surprise.
I wouldn't say that. Probably disappointed in the beginning. When you look at his bumper form last year, PK, he spit Ballyburn and Slade Steel. So I wouldn't say he surprised in a maiden hurdle. I'd say he disappointed when he didn't win it, to be honest with you. And he's got his career back on track. My one worry with him would be he has danced every dance this year. He ran the 2-6 at the Dublin Racing Festival. He ran in the Albert Bartlett. And he then went and ran the Sefton in entry. I just wonder, is this going to be one race too many for him? High Class Hero had a string of ones behind his name, but they haven't added up to a huge amount of form. So I'd be against him. I thought Sam Ewing had Stellar Story in a brilliant position all the way in the Albert Bartlett, and he just about got to the jukebox, man. So the one I was coming down on is Better Days Ahead. And if Answer the Cave does win the third race, I'd be even sweeter on Better Days Ahead in this. But he'd be the one. He's the one I like.
Better Days Ahead for Ruby. Are you joining in again, Mr. Delary?
Sadly not, although I don't disagree with Better Days Ahead. I think he's, I like the form of the Martin Pipe, and I've put one up earlier on from the race. But as well, you know, I'm a big fan of Lecky Watson, and I'm not going to desert him here. He represents each way value here. He always was a little bit under the radar. I thought, although he's only fifth in the Albert Bartlett last time out, if you watch that race back, nothing from off the pace got involved at all. So he did pretty much best of those who were held up and finishing fifth. And I thought that was a good performance. Again, one of the issues with him has always been that he tends to be fairly free in his races. But I think Punchestown will probably help in that regard. For all, he didn't do better here in the bumper last year than he did at Cheltenham. He's still a horse who will continue to do better down the line, Lecky Watson. He's very likable. The hood he wore last time out certainly didn't hamper his performance, may have helped him a little bit. And for a horse who is free, the hood is a positive. Danny Mullins gets on him now. No finer jockey, really, to be your substitute. And I think Lecky Watson will run a solid race at an each way price.
Yeah, he is. He certainly is on Monday anyway. Let's hope he goes off that. So Lecky Watson for Rory Dancing City, who danced every dance. Thank you, producer Mark. Yes, that was apt. From Ruby, indeed. Producer Mark's back after a week off. He's listening intently. He's not sleeping on this occasion. Right, we've got the Grade 1 bumper. It's due off at 4:50. The race and stay Punchestown champion, Irish National Flat Race. And no surprise that the Cheltenham form to the fore here. You've got the winner, Jasmine DeVoe, the winner at Cheltenham. Patrick retained. No surprise there. Romeo Coolio second to Harry Swan on board for Gordon Elliott. They're 6-4 and 7-2. It's 3-1 William Money, who's the interesting one, I suppose, outside of that Cheltenham form for Barry Connell and Finney Maguire, in between the two in the betting. And then 8-1 bar. Back to you, Rory, for the bumper. No, not really your...
I'll jump in this because there is one who's overpriced here.
Oh, okay. One overpriced. Lovely. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't like getting involved in you know, where there's multiple bumpers in the meeting, but this is the champion bumper, and we saw all the horses run. The price on the yellow clay is wrong for me, 33-1. He was a big eye catcher at Leopardstown, the DRF. Went badly hampered in running on to finish fourth. And although he didn't do better than that at Cheltenham, finished sixth, didn't he, in the champion bumper. That was a race where pretty much everything that got involved in the finish was held up early on. And the pace they went early in that race was destructive. And very few horses who were on or near the pace figured in the finish. I thought the yellow clay ran a lot better than his finishing position at sixth that day, given he was always on the pace and saw daylight and race quite keenly as a result. I think he'll do better for that. I'm not saying he's necessarily good enough to win this, but he's 33-1, and I think that's twice the price he should be.
You're not going to say he goes off favourite this time, no?
No, not. I think he's a sort of 14-1 chance, and he's definitely too big.
Fair enough. Overpriced the yellow clay. Ruby?
That's an interesting selection, all right. But I do think Jasmine DeVoe will be hard to beat. I think he's come out of the race in Cheltenham well. He proved himself to be the best horse there, and I think he shall follow up in Punchestown, PK.
Go on then, Ruby. Give me, where does he stand in previous good bumper horses, bumper winners, among champion bumper winners, that is?
Good question. Different type of horse to a lot of them. I don't know.
We've only seen him three times and once outside of point to points.
Yeah, look, he was good. He was really impressive in Nace when he won here over won at Nace over 2 miles and two, and he beat his Nibs. He absolutely bolted it that day, and he backed it up at Cheltenham. Look, you could have made a case for plenty of Willie's horses going to Cheltenham, but Patrick stuck his neck out and picked this fella. He thought he was the most impressive of the horses he'd ridden all year. And he duly obliged at Cheltenham, and I think he'll take a bit of beating again. I think that's stronger form than William Money's, but Barry Collin holds him in very high regard. So he is an interesting runner too.
Not shy of an opinion, Barry Connell, and voicing it as well. So we'll see how his horse goes with Finny Maguire booked. Right, the big one on Wednesday is the Punchestown Gold Cup, sponsored by a firm who seemingly don't know how to organise the El Pizzle in a brewery. Right, we have got this 3 miles and two furlong, or 3 miles and a furlong, essentially. Topping the market, 4-6 Gallivant is Champ, but as we know, beaten in the race last year, and he's had a busier year this year as well compared to last year. Faster, slow, 100-30. And then outside of those, it's pretty much double figure odds. Double figure odds the rest. So Ruby, I guess the question that a lot of people, or some people may ask, is he was beaten in the race last year. He wasn't perhaps as the horse we saw at Cheltenham last year. And he's had a busier campaign this year. Is there the thought, or is there the fear that might happen again?
No. I think he's a year older, PK. He's a stronger horse. Look, even to watch his style of race, and he's become more relaxed in his races. I think the Gold Cup was a tough race, but the Gold Cup always is. Having said that, Jerry Canom came out and won well at Aintree, or battled well to win at Aintree, and Galloping the Champs had an extra couple of weeks over Jerry Canom to get over it. I think he's in really good form at home. His work has been good. He looks strong. He looks really well. I think the fact that he's 7 rising 8, I think he's taken his racing better this year, and I think he'll get the job done.
4-6 is, funnily enough, looking bigger now. 130, as I said, fast or slow. I've rattled off some of the other horses. Korak Rambler, great to see. There's quite a few British trained runners, which is fabulous to see, including, I think there was 6 in the first couple of handicaps on Tuesday. That's 10-1. Also 12-1 Hewick. You've got the likes of Conflated and The Journey With Me, 16s and 18s, and then some fancy prices, the rest. 4-6 is not your cup of tea, Rory, but what are you thinking, Galloping the Champ?
I think he probably wins, but when you see a 4-6 shot in a 9-runner race like this, I'm immediately looking for the each way angle.
Putting on a balaclava, you're putting on, yeah, and you're going each way thievery is what you're thinking. That's what you're thinking.
Pretty much it, yeah. And fair play, Paddy are ducking my selection a little bit. As big as 14-1 in a place. Korak Rambler, has obvious claims, was 3rd in the Gold Cup, off quite a lengthy break. Just given the impression that having travelled strongly through it, that he was coming to the end of his tether late in the day. He got tired from the last. Obviously, he'd been laid out for the Grand National, but that race ended very quickly for him. That'll be a quiz question in years to come. He was the only faller in the 2023 Grand National. He fell at the second fence when he was loose.
Oh, but he fell riderless, didn't he?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. Very good. Okay.
But he didn't take much out of himself by all accounts. Comes over here, and if he just repeats what he did at Cheltenham, he'll be in the frame. So at double figure prices, again, he makes appeal from an each way point of view. I'm not making any argument that he can beat Galloping the Champ. I think you can make an argument for faster slow. Again, he ended up not having as hard a race in the Gold Cup because of unseating JJ Slevin, and we know that his record at Punchestown is very good. So I'd put nobody off backing faster slow at 130 just on that angle, that he's managed to mug Galloping the Champ twice around here, so it's possible he could do it again. But those are the two I'd be interested in. I think it'll be too soft again for Hewick by Wednesday. And the others need to step up a little bit.
Okay. So the each way thievery with Korak Rambler for Rory. Ruby says Galloping the Champ, he's stronger, he's older, he's wiser, and he'll be fine this year at the Punchestown Festival.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
We move on to the 6 o'clock. It's a wide open handicap chase over the 2.5 miles, and James de Burleigh, who gave, obviously, I'm pretty sure you were keen on him at the top and Ruby, and he had a right old spin, didn't he, for Paul, but just finishing second in the end. He's a 3-1 favourite in top weight. This is the race that Willie always wins it with a novice, or is there, no, there's another one later for novices, isn't there?
There's a big, similar race on Friday, PK, a novice handicap chase, and a novice generally wins that. But James de Burley, yeah, he did give a good run for your money in the top of him. I thought he was home and holes myself when he jumped the last. But I thought the race suited him. I thought his style of attacking jumps, I thought entry was made for him. He just didn't get home and he got run out of it. But look, he's plenty of weight here and he has his chance. But I actually think the golfer could give him the most to do. I know Rory was keen on him for the bet 365. I actually don't think he stays. I think they're going the right way with him. Davy Russell won a Leopardstown Chase on him over a similar trip. I didn't think he got home in the last two runnings of the Ultima, and I think he's a great chance here with Jack Kennedy,
the golfer, for Gordon Elliott and Jack Kennedy, 11-2 time recording. Rory, an angle that you've had maybe for the last 2 years, or certainly something that people have flagged up, is British trained handicap chasers over 2, 2.5 have got not an advantage in Ireland, but they're certainly probably it's advantageous for them to run here because they seem to do well. Jetwal falls under that, and then obviously the Goffrey you've been flagging up as well.
Yeah, there's a strong program of 2.5 mile handicap chasers, or greatest handicap chasers in the UK, and as a result, you get a strong pool of horses for those that are always worth paying attention to. I think you might get a bigger price. But the golfer is the one who appeals to me. I know I was toying with him in the bet 365 because he was 33-1 for that Andy Post, and I thought I need a big price winner in the day. And he had, it's a funny race, that Sandown race. I agree with Ruby, he hasn't really looked a winner at an extended 3 miles. A stayer over an extended 3 miles for the last 2 years. And he's given the impression again, this is almost like the top of this contest. And a lot of horses who would be were in the top of them are in it, or who would have been in previous top ones are in it. And I think that the golfer would be really well suited by the top of them, given the way he runs. He's a very sound jumper. But yes, he's travelled very strongly in his races as a rule and hasn't quite got home. The one time he did seem to stay on was when he was dropped out in the bet 365 Gold Cup last year. But that can be misleading when you're running through beaten horses. And I would say a strongly run 2 mile 4. So 2 mile 4, 2 mile 6 is probably his ideal trip. And he's the kind of horse I'd want to see come back for the top next year. But this race gives him a decent opportunity. I think he's well handicapped on what he's capable of. You look at his form figures and they don't look encouraging, but he's been running an awful lot better than they suggest. And I'd give him a good chance of winning this. I just got the impression that he might end up, given the prices he's gone off, or the price he went off last time, the price he would have gone off at Sandown. And I thought the 11-2 that's available at the moment would probably be the bottom end of the price. I think he'll be a couple of points bigger than that, but he would definitely be my pick in the race.
All right, double vote for the golfer. That's four horses that you're sharing your thoughts on today. One more race, a punch of 10, 6:35. It's the Mare's Grade 3 bumper, Aurora Vega. She's back after her disappointing run in the DRF. She's 3-1 favourite. Yes, she is. 7-2 then for Fleur au Fusil, also for Willie. Then you've got 11-2 Air of Entitlement for Henry de Bromhead. John Gleeson will ride. Also 11-2 Familiar Dreams for Anthony McCann and Ony O'Connor. And good man Ben Pauling's over with Queen's Melody at 20-1. A bit of British representation. Ruby, give us the thoughts on the Willie Mullins 1, 2, 3, I can see.
Yeah, look, Aurora Vega was obviously a little bit disappointed at the Dublin Racing Festival. But to be honest with you, PK, I don't know why she turns the form with Fleur au Fusil. The Fleur au Fusil ran okay in the Cheltenham Bumper. She finished 7th. But as Rory said, it was the kind of race that paid to be dropped in. And Fleur au Fusil was, I think from memory, bang on the pace all the way in Cheltenham. So I think she may just have been in the wrong part of the race, Fleur au Fusil, and I think she'll uphold her Leopardstown form with Aurora Vega. The other filly is the Chestnut filly Femme Magnifique, who Elliot Algren rides, and I think she has to improve considerably to win this. But I would be with Fleur au Fusil to uphold her Leopardstown form with Aurora Vega.
Again, the token pass to Rory to see if he's any angle into this, and that's fine if you don't.
Yeah, no angle for me. I wouldn't rule the Ben Pauling mare out well with his bumper mares this season, but maybe the yard form's cooled a little bit in the last week or so. He had a couple of disappointments at Sandown at the weekend, but I wouldn't be having a bet.
No worries. I see Declan Queeley's got a runner in it as well. Don't think there'd be any 100-1 available about his runner in the mare's bumper to the race. Landed quite a gamble a couple of weeks ago.
Biggest surprise about that was the alleged Ladbrokes laying a £300 double.
Well,
two apparently.
They've they've got a lot of mentions in this podcast, so I think we're going to have to start editing this one.
Doesn't tally with any of my memories of I have to say.
Right, before we wrap up and get Wednesday naps, I did ask, and I appreciate, actually I'm just going to say, there's a really good card at Ascot on Wednesday as well. It is their Royal Ascot so-called Trials Day. There's group and listed races. Cursory glance, Mr. Delarge, see if anything jumped out at you before we get the Wednesday naps.
No, small fields for the pattern races there. Okay. Just five in the Paradise Stakes, five in the Cigaro. Then you've got the Commonwealth Cup has the trial there has got 11 runners, but I struggled to find a big standout at the price. And then you got two races named the Nace Racecourse Handicap.
Which Nace Racecourse Handicap at Ascot. They could have called the Punchestown Racecourse Handicap given the week that's in it. But anyway, Trushan and Coltrane are declared for the Cigaro Stakes, which is interesting. The Gold Cup trial. Watch out for that, amongst others. The Queen Anne trial.
Horse that appealed to me on that card.
Yeah.
At all. It was in the second division of the Nace Racecourse Handicap. And that's Q8 City. But I don't know what kind of price you're going to get about him. John Butler's been out of form for a long time, but there have been good signs of return to form in the last couple of weeks from John. And Q8 City was a winner over this trip at Yarmouth. And I think the way he won that day suggested he could run up a bit of a sequence. So if he's a fair price, I'd be interested in him.
Okay, Kuwait City, keep an eye out for him. He runs in the second division. It's the 4 o'clock at Ascot on Wednesday afternoon. And someone needs to have a word with Ascot, not about their advertising, but about the naming of the 140, a Queen Anne Stakes trial. Have a think, lads. Not so sure. I know they changed that race. It was a Sandown or Newbury, which they used to call the Ark trial. It's like, lads, no. Right, Wednesday best bets, please. This time I'm going to go to Ruby Walsh first for your best bet on Wednesday.
Answer to Kev.
Answer to Cave, one of the four horses you were both tipping up. So, Rory, you can either join or go with something else.
I am going to go with I'm going to go for the first race, I think.
Napertandy.
What's that, the 2:30 and go with Napertandy.
Napertandy, another horse you were both joined at the hip with. So you are either going to have a fabulous Wednesday, lads, or it's going to be a struggle. But best of luck with it. As I said, we will be every day, a podcast for Punchestown right through until Saturday, where obviously the 2,000 guineas will be at Newmarket. We'll be talking about that as well. So that's going to be a busy old podcast for us. I can't wait to see how good all the reports are. He's the greatest thing since Air Force Blue. Or one of those other horses. Let's hope he's a little bit better than that, this Ballydoyle horse.
His name is City of Try.
Desert Crown or something like that, isn't it? Like, God, it's weird how these horses sometimes just completely go out of you, isn't it? That Ballydoyle Aidan O'Brien horse. I've probably said that on air about 50,000 times, City of Try. I think I've even said it today, and I could not remember his name.
You'll love to get Lambertandy in a hurry then, will you?
Just don't get out there.
But luckily, I've got Ruby Walsh on the podcast to make sure that everyone knows that. Ruby, have a great day.
Cheers, PK. Best of luck.
See you now. Thanks, Rory.
See you then, guys.
Thanks, everyone. We will chat to you again tomorrow.